The Oscars so dull hashtag was hot a few years ago, but not last night. It was a night of many firsts and the slap heard round the world when Best Actor winner Will Smith slapped presenter Chris Rock for a joke about his wife's hair loss.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We're going to talk about it all with John Horn, who covers Hollywood for KPCC. Hi, John.
Hello there.
Well, people are joking all over social media. Did anything happen last night? A very uneventful evening.
Very much so. I mean, the producers of the Academy Awards said heading into the ceremony, they were really determined to make this year's show more exciting. I think they got their wish, but not exactly in the way they would have expected. I mean, ratings for the show have been cratering. Last year's pandemic-era show was the lowest rated ever. They eliminated 8 categories out of the broadcast ceremony, put them into an earlier pre-show. But they certainly weren't expecting anything like Smith's assault of Chris Rock.
So let's start with that. Everybody talking about that slap, Will Smith storming the stage. What's the response today?
Not positive for Smith. I mean, I think a lot of people have said it was a joke. Maybe it was a little harsh on Jada Pinkett Smith. I mean, she suffers from a hair loss condition. And if you look closely, Will Smith is laughing when Rock tells the joke.
Right.
And Jada is not. But clearly, something happened after Smith started laughing because he got very angry right after that, came up, slapped Rock on the stage, and then went back to his seat and twice yelled at Rock, you know, with an expletive about not using his wife's name in his jokes. It was, and the audience was stunned into silence. It was bleeped out in a lot of the country, but not overseas. So a lot of people did hear what Smith said, and he was furious.
Well, and it was a really uncomfortable moment, and people didn't know if it was part of the show, and then it became very obvious that it wasn't. A lot of questions, John, this morning. Why Will Smith wasn't ejected, whether Chris Rock crossed a line. What do you think?
I don't think Chris Rock crossed a line at all. I mean, I think that's his job. That is his brand of comedy. And Will Smith, listen, if you make a joke about somebody, you don't go up and hit them. I mean,
right.
I can't imagine a scenario in which anybody thinks that that's acceptable. And Chris Rock made a series of jokes when he hosted the show back in 2005 about Jude Law. Basically, Jude Law was in every movie. And later in the ceremony, Sean Penn said, Jude Law is like a great actor. That's how you respond to those kinds of things. Will Smith could have said something later. I think it's a display of, you know, toxic masculinity. I think it is a display of violence. I mean, you know, the LAPD looked into it. They said that Chris Rock declined to press charges because that is assault and it's actually battery because he made contact with him technically under the law. I just can't imagine any scenario in which anybody thinks that's the right thing to do.
Minutes after that, Will Smith gave a tearful speech when he accepted his first Best Actor Oscar for playing the hard-charging father of tennis players Venus and Serena Williams in King Richard.
In this business, you got to be able to have people disrespecting you. And you got to smile and you got to pretend like that's okay. But Richard Williams, and what I loved, thank you, D. Denzel said to me a few minutes ago, he said, at your highest moment, be careful. That's when the devil comes for you.
John, what did you make of that speech where, by the way, Will Smith apologized to the Academy, but not to Chris Rock?
Well, and he did something I think that was even worse. He talked about how he's like protecting people because he's an ambassador of love. And he talked about protecting his co-star in King Richard, Anjanou Ellis. Anjanou Ellis, like a lot of women, doesn't need some guys protecting her. And I thought that was the thing that he said that was most telling, that yes, he says he's, you know, he's doing this out of love and he's an ambassador of love. No ambassador of love goes onto a stage and hits somebody. So I thought it was really chauvinistic. And I thought the fact that he failed to apologize to Rock. And later in the evening, he went to the Vanity Fair awards show where he was quoted by saying, it's all about love and it's been a beautiful night. So I think he has no perspective on what really happened.
All right, let's move on now. There were some historic wins last night. Ariana DeBose, the first Afro-Latina openly queer, winning Best Supporting Actress for playing Anita in the West Side Story remake. There was Troy Kotsur, a deaf actor, winning Best Supporting Actor for playing a deaf father in Coda. He signed his speech as an interpreter translated.
I really want to thank all of the wonderful deaf theater stages where I was allowed and given the opportunity to develop my craft as an actor.
John, some really big moments there.
I think those were two of the most important moments in the show. We talk a lot about diversity and equity and representation in Hollywood. This is why it's important. If you are a deaf actor or if you're a queer woman of color and you see Troy Kotsur and Ariana DeBose win those awards, you can say to yourself, I can see myself in that kind of job. And that's why representation is so important. And I think it's really telling. I mean, I think that, you know, we have talked about Oscars so white in the past. I think that a deaf man and a queer woman of color won those awards is very important.
And Coda, a surprise win for Best Picture.
A huge win. I mean, this is the first Best Picture win by a streamer. It was Apple TV Plus, not Netflix. I think a lot of people thought Power the Dog was going to win. But I think the Oscar voters I talked to, all of whom said they were voting for Coda, liked it because it was a feel-good movie. Power the Dog, not so much. And I think they wanted a feel-good movie given the times we're living in.
Well, Power of the Dog only managed to get one win, Best Director, for Jane Campion. It was the most nominated film with only one win.
Yeah, and Netflix actually had 27 nominations going into the ceremony, and that was its win for Jane Campion. But let's just note that Jane Campion now is the second woman in a row to win the directing Oscar. Last year, Chloe Zhao took it for Nomadland. So even if Netflix didn't do well and Power of the Dog didn't do that well, Jane Campion did set a record. Two women have won the directing trophy for consecutive years. And of course, that has never happened because only a handful of women have ever won the directing prize. Mm.
All right. And the sci-fi epic Dune. Tell us about that one.
Well, it won the most awards of any film with six, none in what you would call major categories. It won some technical awards. It won for score. Its director, Denis Villeneuve, was not nominated for making the film, but almost everybody who won an award for Dune thanked Denis. I was surprised that Denis was not nominated, but Dune, it's the only big blockbuster of a sort that was nominated for Best Picture. As the Academy is trying to figure out why their ratings are down, movies like Dune are very important because the audience knows them.
What else stood out to you as far as awards last night?
Well, I mean, it felt like it wasn't that much of a shorter show. I mean, they talked about eliminating eight awards out of the broadcast ceremony, putting them into a pre-show and then editing down their acceptance speeches. But then there were tributes to films that really don't matter. I mean, White Man Can't Jump got some sort of tribute. I looked it up in awards categories. The one award that I could find that was notable, it was nominated but did not win an MTV Movie Award for Best Kiss between Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. So why you would honor a movie like that when there's so many other deserving films to pay tribute to is a head-scratcher. Mm.
After several years without a host at all at the Oscars, the ceremony returned with Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes. Here's how Amy Schumer framed it in the opening monologue.
This year, the Academy hired three women to host because it's cheaper than hiring one man.
Some terrific one-liners there, John. How'd they do?
I thought they did very well. And there's a telling moment, too. Regina, in the beginning of the show, or toward the beginning, does this kind of thing where some certain people have apparently, but not truly, failed their COVID test. And she picks out a bunch of very attractive men to come backstage with her. She picks out Will Smith, and he doesn't go. So you know Will Smith is really not there to play along from the very beginning, where all the other actors go up on stage and go off with Regina, but not Will Smith. So he comes in not wanting to play, and he ends the night not wanting to play either.
All right, John, wrap this up for us. This Oscars certainly will go down in history as one of the more memorable nights ever as an event, and where the industry is right now. What will you remember?
Yeah, I'll certainly remember Will Smith. Will Smith is going to be the subject of this Oscars and many Oscars going forward. So I think that's unfortunate, but I do think it's an important night, not only for representation, but also Coda is a movie that stars three deaf actors and it won Best Picture. And I think that's a notable achievement.
John Horn covers Hollywood for KPCC. John, thank you so much.
My pleasure.